Well, a few weeks ago, Pete said to me, "Mum, would you like to preach?" And I, like most sensible people, said, "Not on your life." And so we carried on talking, and we talked about what this series has been doing about the five values that we've been looking at as a fellowship. And he was talking about this one, which is risk-taking, mission, and service. And I said, "Who are you going to do? What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I thought I'd be doing Jonathan." Now, some while ago, I read this book, which has the very snappy title of "In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day." Snappy, I think you'll agree. And so I said to him, "No, you don't want to do Jonathan. You want to do Benaiah." He said, "Okay then, you can do it." So I'm sorry, you're probably all wishing you'd gone away for the weekend now, but you've got me. Now, I didn't reread the book because I thought if I reread the book, the danger is I shall end up saying what he said. But I have taken a few quotes from it, I will admit. So we're today looking at risk-taking, mission, and service. And we've been looking at this in our church meeting. And a few times we felt that this perhaps was a value that we weren't perhaps as strong on as we were on some of the others. So this morning, I not only feel a huge responsibility as I try to shed some light on this value and so that us as a church family can grow, but, and some of you I've shared this with, I feel a huge personal responsibility to make sure I do what I'm bringing to you. Now, I think if you've been around Christian circles for a while, you've got some idea of what mission and service are. And certainly, most organisations these days have a mission statement. And this mission statement defines what an organisation will do. It's why it exists, its reason for being. And this is what its definition, if you can't read it, I'll say it. At a minimum, a mission statement should define who are the primary customers, identify the products and services produced, and describe the geographical location in which you operate. And as Christians, we have a very, very clear mission statement. Jesus gave it to us just before he went back to heaven, and it's in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. In verse 18, he says, "All power is given to me." And then he says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." So this is a very clear mission statement. And again, if you've been around YBC for a bit, in fact, Pete's already mentioned it this morning, our mission statement is also taken from the words of Jesus just before he went back to heaven, from Acts 1, verses 7 to 8, which is, "Trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son." Because another definition of mission is that it's an important task that people are given to do, especially involving travelling to another country. So for us, mission should be absolutely integral to our Christian life, because that's what Jesus has told us to do. What I want to focus on this morning isn't actually mission. Or service. It's actually on the description that we have of how we should be doing this. It's of risk-taking. Now, the definition of risk is a situation involving exposure to danger, the possibility that something unpleasant or unwelcome will happen, the risk of losing something of value to you. That could be your health, it could be your mental well-being, it could be money, it could be social status, it could be friends, it could be anything. But we live in a society today which is very risk adverse. I think you'll agree. We try to legislate out for any accident. We don't like the idea of anything going wrong. We don't let children do things that some of us who are slightly older will remember doing as children. You know, like riding our bikes unsupervised or walking home from school alone. We don't let that children do those things anymore. And we try to plan risk out of our business. We try to plan it out of our lives. And we do things like risk assessments. We do risk matrices. And we put in mitigation measures because we don't want risk. We try to weigh up what are the odds of something happening. If it's too high, we won't do it. So why is this important? You see, risk can also be defined as an intentional interaction, something you do deliberately, despite uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the outcome's going to be, but you carry on and do it. And I want you to bear this definition in mind when we come to this guy that we're going to be talking about this morning called Benaiah. Now, Benaiah is a contemporary of David in the Old Testament. He crops up several times, but you have to go to various verses to try and piece out a bit of his history. But the time we really hear about him is in Samuel. So I'm going to read these verses to you from 2 Samuel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30. But he was not included among the three. And David put him in charge of his bodyguard. Now, just imagine the scene for a minute. You obviously saw the animation earlier on. Benaiah is face to face with a man-eating animal. A man-eating animal who can run about 30 miles an hour, who weighed, probably even guessing that Benaiah was a pretty hefty guy, probably weighed 5, 6, possibly 7 times more than he did, has these things on the end of his feet called claws. Now, any of you have been scratched by a cat? Yeah, it's painful. Imagine what claws are going to do. And not only that, the weather is against Benaiah. It's cold, it's slippery, and it's snowing. And the lion has home court advantage. Because with those claws, he can use them like crampons to get out of a snowy, icy pit. He can also has better hearing. He can rise up on his back legs and just bat Benaiah down, even before he gets to the bottom of the pit. So by any standards of risk assessment, you would say, don't go there. The odds are very heavily against Benaiah. And yet, he still goes towards the danger and doesn't run away. So who was Benaiah? Now, every time we hear about Benaiah, when we read in the Old Testament, it always says he's the son of Jehoiada. And Jehoiada was a priest. So he came from a religious background, a godly background. But this guy obviously hadn't followed in his father's footsteps. He had obviously decided to join the SAS of his day. He was a tough guy, a tough guy. But we're told he was a mighty soldier, valiant, brave, fearless. And if you go back to our definition of risk, someone who intentionally took action in spite of uncertainty. Now, to me, going up against a lion does sound like a pretty certain outcome. But this is talking from somebody whose definition of risk is choosing or trying out a new coffee shop. So, you know, that might not be the best standard. Someone who's not afraid to lose something of value. And I think we can all agree that losing our life is something of value. Someone who knows there's a strong possibility that something unpleasant, a lion, claws, or unwelcome will happen. Someone who's prepared to take the risk. Now, there must have been some reason why Benaiah wanted to follow this lion into a pit on a snowy day in such dreadful conditions. Maybe this lion was terrorizing a village. Maybe somebody else's life was in danger. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know that Benaiah didn't stop to calculate the risk. He didn't stop to do a risk assessment or a risk matrix. He ran towards the roar. Now, why is that important? Well, you see, it's important because I think that risk and faith are either side of the same coin. You see, faith is trust in somebody's ability or knowledge that they will do what has been promised. It's also a strong or unshakable belief in something. So, if we as Christians say we have faith in God, which as Christians, that is what we say, then the proof of that isn't just knowing he will do what he has promised. It is putting into action in risk-taking, mission and service. But I don't know about you, but certainly for me, this isn't what I usually do or often do. You see, the opposite to risk is being safe and secure, being settled and settling for a Christian life that is comfortable, that is convenient, one that fits in around us and our family, fits in around our lifestyle. You know, it's there as a safety net when things get a bit tough, but generally, we don't actually want a faith that's going to make a huge amount of difference to our life, or one that's going to be too demanding, or will change what we have to do, where we have to go, how we have to live. We want certainty. And I mean, surely that's not too much to ask. We don't want to take a risk. You see, and the other thing we often do is we separate faith and faithful. We see faithful as being loyal, reliable, committed, which are all true and steady. Please do not misunderstand me here. These are absolutely vital qualities. They are excellent qualities. We live in a society which is a disposable society. We want things instantly and nothing has longevity. And we need people in the church who are in it for the long haul. So these are absolutely vital qualities. But we confuse them often that our commitment, our reliability can be an excuse or more of a result of being settled rather than it being about risk-taking faith. We have got to be very careful about that. Now, let's go back to Benaiah, because Benaiah seemed to get the balance right. Benaiah had a lifetime of service to King David. He was with David before he became king. We read in 1 Kings, he was with David when David was old. David was on the throne for 40 years. There was everything about Benaiah said loyal, dependable, faithful, trustworthy. We read a story in 1 Kings 1 when one of David's sons, and I can't pronounce his name very well, I think it is Adonijah, his son, wanted to usurp the throne. And a lot of people defected to this son, Adonijah. But Benaiah, we read that Benaiah was one of the few people who didn't go. You see, he was faithful. He was loyal. He was in it for the long haul. But there was nothing safe or settled about Benaiah. We saw that as a young man when he was getting into a pit on a snowy day. We see it now as an older guy, 40 years on, still doing some very difficult things that the king told him to do. And when Solomon became king, because Adonijah didn't, and Solomon became king, he made Benaiah his commander-in-chief of the army. So he then took him and gave him the second highest position in the land. And Benaiah didn't say, well, actually, I've done my bit, 40 plus years, I'm ready for my pension now. He took on that challenge because, you see, his loyalty wasn't to the job, it was to the king. And our loyalty, that's where our faithfulness to service should be. It's not to the role or the organization we're in. Our loyalty is to the King of Kings. And if he suddenly says to you or me, I've got a new job for you, our responsibility is to leave what is familiar and comfortable and take that risk. We read in Hebrews 11, this amazing chapter of people of faith. Amazing chapter. Long list of people named because of their faith. And, they were there because their faith involved them taking a risk. You see, it's the same coin, same side, each side of that coin. You look at each one of them, go and read their stories. Each one of them took a risk for God. And often that risk involved a miracle. Brilliant. We see the Red Sea part. We've sung that this morning, haven't we, about you split the sea. Moses saw that. We see amazing miracles. Gideon, Rahab, Daniel. Amazing miracles of these people. But not everybody saw their faith resulted in a miracle. Samson didn't. Samson died. When David went out against Goliath, that wasn't a miracle. It was God. It might have been God giving him lateral thinking, because every single man in that army would have known how to use a slingshot, because that's what they do. That's what they did in that culture. Every single man in that army would have known how to use a slingshot. But it was only David who had faith in God and said, I am not going to allow this man to come against the armies of the living God. I'm not going to do it. That is where his faith was. And he went out because, let's face it, a catapult isn't normally the weapon of choice in battle. Think about Noah building an ark, on dry land for years. People thought he was completely stupid. But his risk of obedience resulted in a huge and amazing miracle. In Genesis, we read this, in Genesis 11. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. Now, we know that Canaan was the promised land. Terah set out to go to Canaan, but he never got there. He found somewhere nice. He found somewhere good. And he settled. If he'd gone on to Canaan, God's call to Abraham may have been something different. We don't know. We will never know, because obviously Terah settled in Haran. He didn't follow through. And he settled. You see, the big danger is that we may settle for the good, but not the best. When I was at school, we had a little rhyme that said, good, better, best, never let it rest, till your good is better and your better best. And Terah settled for good. Had a great life in Haran, but it wasn't his best life, because that's not where he was meant to go. And perhaps God's had something for you. Perhaps you've had a call at some point in your life of something that you have got to do. And you've never followed it through. You've settled. You've settled for good, but you haven't settled for the best. Because we then read that the Lord said to Abraham, go. Oh, we heard that bit earlier on this morning, didn't we? What does Jesus say in the Great Commission? Go. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. And then we get this amazing promise that God gives to Abraham, where all the people of the earth will be blessed through him. And then it says, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he did that. So the question is, what's stopping you from taking a risk for God? Oh, well, I'm far too young. Samuel was a child. David was a teenager. I'm far too old. Benaiah took up his new challenge as commander-in-chief. He was certainly in his 60s, probably into his 70s. We've just read that Abraham went when he was 75 years old. Well, my health's not that great. Moses had a stutter. In fact, he tried to use that as an excuse to God, and God said, okay, that's fine. I know you've got a stutter. I will just give you Aaron, and he can speak for you. So Aaron had to take that risk of faith to speak for Moses. Paul speaks about a thorn in the flesh. Jacob walked with a limp. Elijah had depression. These people are not immune from health, but it didn't stop them taking a risk for God. Well, I've got a family. You know, I've got children to think about. Peter was married. We know that because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Benaiah had at least one son. And we read that in 1 Chronicles 27. And that son became the counselor to the king. So he obviously did a pretty good job of raising him, despite taking lots of risks. Well, finance, you know, I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got commitments. I need to put away my pension, making sure the kids have enough. Do you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? He didn't want to give up. And so he settled for good rather than Jesus' best. Career. Now, these guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had glittering careers, really promising careers in the Babylonian civil service. They were high flyers, absolute high flyers. And they were prepared to put all that on the line. In fact, they did put it all on the line. And God came through for them in amazing miracles. But I think one of the biggest ones that we have, particularly in our society, is the fear of looking stupid. We don't want to look stupid. And, you know, but you think of Noah, who definitely looked stupid. Rahab, hanging down. How is a red cord hanging down from your window going to save you? Mary, when the angel came to her and said that she was going to be carry God's son. So what is stopping you from taking that risk from God? What's stopping you answering that call that God's put in your heart? This week, I met a friend of mine for coffee, And this friend used to be a missionary in Yemen. And she had gone to Yemen as a nurse and met her husband, who was a doctor out there. And they had a family. And she was telling me about, even then, this would be, 20 odd years ago, Yemen was still a very dangerous place. And that some of her team, or the team that they were with, were killed, some were kidnapped. And she said something absolutely extraordinary to me. She said, I couldn't have kept my babies there unless I knew God's call had put me there. I knew God's call. I had God's call on my life, and that meant that I stayed there. You see, taking a risk isn't a risk if it's based on obedience to God. That's faith. It's only a risk if God isn't in it. And then she said this, I knew that being in Yemen was my safe space. My safe space in Yemen. We used to have a little plaque up in our kitchen that says faith is living on the edge. Faith might be living on the edge. That might be what you have to do, is living right on the edge, if we are going to be involved in risk-taking, mission and service. Because the other side of the coin to risk is faith. So faith is living on the edge. But the risk of not obeying God is to miss out on your best life. A few months back, Veronica did this, because she took this value when she spoke, and she spoke to her Esther. And Esther was told by Mordecai, you might be here for such a time as this. If she hadn't done it, she would have missed out on her best. Are you going to miss out on your best life because you're not prepared to take a risk? Will you quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death? Do we really want to be doing that? Will you go after a dream that's destined to fail without divine intervention? So what's stopping you taking that risk? What's stopping you answering that call that you know God's put in your heart? You see, we don't know. God might have put something in your heart a long time ago, perhaps 20, 30, 40 years ago. He might have put something in your heart only last week, last year, 10 years ago. And you've never followed through on it. What's stopping you stepping out in faith? How big is your God? Sorry, I've missed a... You see, what is the risk that's stopping you from going forward? Whoops, sorry, I'm not good at this. The risk might be just raising your hands in church and worship. That might be the risk, because you don't want to look stupid. It might be being baptized. It might be offering to do something in church. It might be answering a call to go abroad. I don't know what your risk is, but are you prepared to take it? Are you going to be obedient to that call? And this morning, if you don't know, some of you might be sitting here thinking, this woman is absolutely crazy and is saying completely ridiculous stuff, because you don't know this God. And so for you, the risk is actually, because you're not a Christian yet. So for you, the risk is actually giving your heart to Jesus, asking him to forgive your sins, asking him into your life. That might be the big risk for you, because to you, that just seems like a risk too far. But you see, once you've taken that risk, your first miracle happens, because it's not risk, it's faith, and you become a child of God. So perhaps that is your risk, is actually stepping out and becoming a Christian. So, how big is your God? Are you actually prepared to miss out on the God's best because you've settled for something that's okay? Are you going to be obedient to his call?